If you look inside your bulletin and you look at the the listing for the scripture, and then you look at the end of that, and in parentheses it says HCSB. Now, that's not one we use very often, but actually it's one that we come close to using very often. That is, it's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Now, we use the CSB a lot because that's the newest translation. That's the Christian Standard Bible, and it is produced by Holman. The only difference between the two is that the Holman Christian Standard Bible was produced in 1999, and the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, was an upgrade in 2017. So that's your Bible lesson for today. Anyway, we're using the Holman Christian Standard Bible today. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8, the first part of verse 8. If I speak human or angelic languages, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And then we go to John the 13th chapter, verses 34 and 35. Oh, I failed to read verse 13. Now, let's see, did we get that on there? I think I failed to give it to Darwin to put in there. But verse 13, this is 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And then John 13, 34 and 35. I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. What we've just read together and heard together is just some of the strongest and one of the most abundant affirmations our Holy Scriptures give to us. It's some of the scriptures about the primary characteristic of love. So, a couple of months ago in June, I was doing my planning for sermons in the near future, and I decided that a few weeks devoted to the subject of love would be in order. So these sermons of August are dedicated to scriptures based on messages on love. Last week was on loving yourself, and this week on the nature of Christian love. Not just the nature of love, the nature of Christian love, specifically Christian love. And next week, is there anyone you are not to love? Well, we can and we should start with, why is love so primary? Why this characteristic as a focus for us gathered here today in this church today? Well, I have to say it's probably from my early learning in church, and I dare say it's probably from your early learning in church too, when we were really just very young children in Sunday school. You remember that, Sunday school? When we were kiddos, you know, our parents took us to Sunday school. And in our early Sunday school classes, we learned John, 1 John 4:8. They probably didn't quote those numbers to you, that scripture reference, 1 John 4:8. What they taught us was the very simple, very profound truth of that verse. God is love. Then also in Sunday school, when we were exploring the Genesis story of creation, we also heard the very simple and very profound truth that when God created people, he made us in his own image. Then later on in Sunday school, when we got old enough, you know, maybe 9 or 10 or so, when we were old enough to put ideas together, joining two ideas to come out with one conclusion, we put this together at our church in Sunday school. If God is love, and we were made by our Creator God to be like him, we must also be, simply and profoundly, the truth that when God shows through us, we are in his likeness, love. Isn't it amazing what our great old church Sunday schools taught us? And isn't that the reason we ought to be doing all we can to get parents to bring their children to Sunday school as soon as possible while they're young and absorb the truths of God's word fully? A child in a Christian church learns and grows with God is love, and I was created in God's likeness to be like that, therefore I too am to be love, a loving person. And as we study our Bible in Sunday school and church, we learn other things about God. He's eternal, he's all-powerful, he's righteous, he's just. But the greatest truth about God is that God is love. So let me say this again for emphasis and just to get it to stick in our minds and our hearts this morning. Yes, I'm aware that we're not in a child's youth Sunday school class right now, but this is a learning time. So for emphasis, it is the prime divine design that our foremost responsibility to God is to respond to him, to ourselves, and to others with all-encompassing love. Well, what is love? The dictionary's definition of love is really shallow. It's even hollow compared to with what the New Testament defines as love. In the dictionary, the best old Webster could do is to define love as affection, sympathetic understanding, tender and passionate affection for one of the opposite sex, benevolence. Christian love, on the other hand, in New Testament teaching, is primarily a moral feeling or a sense, a spirit of unbreakable goodwill and unflinching desire for constructive action on behalf of those whom we are to love. And that is your, everyone incorporated into one term, that is your neighbor. Because God is love, he has created us not only with a desire and a need for love, but also to desire and to need to love. Everyone desires to receive the love of others. And the Bible teaches us, as Judeo-Christians, we need to love others. The Apostle Paul's emphasis is that love is the greatest characteristic of all of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. His letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first part of the fruit. And then he adds joy and peace and patience and so forth. But the first part of the fruit, and I'd say the governing part of the fruit, is love. All of the others follow as a result of the presence of love. Love is greater than eloquence, greater than intellectual achievement, greater than philanthropy, greater even than martyrdom. It is love that really counts in human relationships, for it is the greatest helper and healer and teacher. It's interesting to note that in 1 Corinthians 13, our first scripture reading for this morning, you can substitute the name of Jesus for the word love, and it fits perfectly. Jesus is the personification of love. And realizing and knowing that, he gave this love teaching to all who will be his disciples, his followers. Our John 13 reading of this morning, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. Jesus, the personification, says, just as I have loved you. We're to know how Jesus loved. So let's look at some expressions of Christian love as the love that we are to be doing. Christian love is always patient. Jesus was patient at all times. Love, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. I think you'll agree. We live in a day of very tense impatience. We're impatient with servers at the restaurant, with store clerks, with family members sometimes, and drivers out on the road, and at times even with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So please, Jesus, please, Holy Spirit, I have a critical need for patience. God is a patient God. He suffers long with people. 40 years with his chosen people traveling to the promised land with Moses, and then centuries in that land as they continually turned away from him to graven images, and then patiently for 70 years in Babylon until they finally came to their senses. Christ is a patient Savior. He was patient with his apostles. How many times did he say, how long must I be with you and you still do not believe? And then after the cross, he walked a step at a time as his church was established and grew. He has been patient with his servants down through the ages. And I firmly believe this. Jesus Christ wants to help us to be patient with others, patient with ourselves, and by the strength of the Holy Spirit he has sent to dwell within us, to empower us with godly patience. Christian love is always kind. Jesus was and is kind at all times and in all kinds of circumstances. Verse 4, love is kind. If you and I are to be truly loving, we are to live a lifestyle of kindness, like that which characterized the whole life of Jesus. It's been said that kindness is a language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. I think that's profound. Be ye kind, Ephesians 4:32. That's another one of those first verses that children learn in Sunday school. And I know it's much easier to quote the verse than it is to be kind to everyone. But the verse is there to quote it, to be reminded by it. On the day of judgment, we will be partially rewarded on the basis of our deeds of kindness to the unfortunate. A good scripture to read there, and it's a little long, so I'm not going to read it. Matthew 25, 34 through 46. Jesus is telling a parable about a king who gave kindness. And the key is verse 40. We see many events where Jesus was kind. He expressed kindness at the wedding in Cana. He expressed kindness to the widow of Nain, to the crowds that he fed, to his mother, providing for her while he was hanging on the cross, and to the thief hanging next to him. May God's Spirit within us help us to be kind at all times. Christian love bears up under all things. Verse 7, love bears all things. The New English Bible translates this, there is nothing love cannot face. And another translation declares that love knows no limits to its endurance. Love carries, bears the burdens of others cheerfully. Love bears problems caused by problem people and can overlook the faults of others. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3, 17. Too often we don't go on from 16 to 17. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why sinners are attracted to Jesus. He loves us and them in spite of our and their unlovely ways. Love bears with all problems, never gives up, even when the going gets difficult. Christian love is always eager to believe the best. Love believes all things. Verse 7. Christian love is completely trusting. Because of a great faith in God, we're able to put faith in others. Jesus, for instance, could look at a very unstable person like Peter and trust him, to see in him in future days a solid rock. Jesus could look into the life of a woman of low morals who came to the Samaritan well, could see in her a great witness to his saving power as she went back to town and said, "Come and see, I've met him." Christian love has a habit of always looking to believe the best in others. Christian love never ceases to hope. Verse 7 again, love hopes all things. Well, you want some really good news? Jesus, the author and finisher of love, just does not give up hope for you and for me. Christian love has a ceaseless, perpetual hope in the heart brought out by God's Holy Spirit within us. You say, okay, where's that hope? Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll bring it out. Christian love, for instance, believes that no person is a hopeless case. Do you know any person who's a hopeless case? They're not. No situation is without hope. If you remind yourself of God and the power of his love dwelling in you. And Christian love gives us a power to endure anything. Well, we finally got to the end of verse 7. Love endures all things. Christian love does not surrender. Christian love holds on and keeps holding on. And Christian love is more than just a passive resignation. It is a triumphant fortitude in the midst of difficult circumstances. Christian love never gives up hoping, praying, working, believing. Christian love is never an accident. It's not at all automatic. It is made possible by the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ for us, for each of us, for us to be a genuine representative of Christian love. As God's gift to us, as I pointed out earlier from Galatians, love is the first characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit as he dwells in the heart of believers, in your heart, in my heart. Love grows to maturity as we nourish it. And so I want to conclude this message, this teaching from our Holy Scriptures, as a challenge. No, actually, I want to make it a directive. For all of us here this morning who are followers of Christ, for every day of this coming week, let us all consciously take Christian love into every relationship of life. Get started every day. Get started early. Let that be your morning prayer. You know, the one that you pray just as you wake from a God-given good night's sleep, praying, "Bring out your power in me this day, God, to love. Love you, my God, to love myself, and to love my neighbor in the same way I love myself. In Jesus Christ, amen." Use your love as you approach at home, at school, in the job, and all the difficult questions and problems that you face. Use your love for the rest of today, for tomorrow, Monday, for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And ask God, "Bring me back here next Sunday full of overflowing with your love." God loves you. Let his love flow through you and be his blessing to others. We say, Milton. Amen. 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 Amen.